This is the EZ Sports Talk Show. EZ Sports Talk Show. Broadcasting live across the Sports Map Radio Network. Bringing you the latest in sports and more, here's Ed EZ Smith and Javon J. Love Adams.
And welcome back to Hour 2 of the EZ Sports Talk Show. I'm your host, Ed Smith. Brother Jay is handling some business at the house today during the show from his home office. He might be back on this segment, so we'll hang out and wait for him to get back in. In the meantime, and if he is coming back, we did want to, there's a story that just popped right before the show started. Jay actually sent me a text, and in the first segment, Mike also wanted to let me know that he had seen it as well. And one Cliff Kingsbury, who we know very well out here in the Valley, he was our head coach here with the Cardinals for several years. How you fail upwards as much as one person, I'll never know. But Cliff Kingsbury went from being a head coach in college with a losing record, went to USC before he could even do that, got tapped to come and be our head coach here in Arizona, and then after just a miserable job for a few years, went back to college, and then had the opportunity to be the offensive coordinator for the Las Vegas Raiders. So as of last night, he was taking the job, and Jay sent me an emoji crying, like, you know, because Jay's a big Raiders fan, and he was like, not Cliff Kingsbury. And then what happened this morning, Jay?
I hate you, man. He took his name out. He took his name out and withdrew from the running for the coach. And that's the crazy thing, right? Maybe he listened to the podcast. Maybe he listened to the podcast and he heard us. But I'm sure that there was a time when I took a job one time that was – I was trying to help both sides, right? I took the job, but I was trying to hold out for the job I really wanted. And so I started trying to, can I start in 3 weeks instead of two? No, we need you to start in two. So I just had to let it go because they weren't picking up what I was putting down. And maybe that was Cliff Kingsbury. Maybe he started thinking, I don't really know if I can do this. I'm not cut out for it. Maybe it's too soon, but it's not a good look if you're trying to get back into the league in some way, shape, or form, even as an offensive coordinator at some point.
What other job is out there that, you know, that he would want that would be better than the Raiders job? Or how does he, meaning, you know, all due respect, his resume is not shining to the point where, you know, hey, this dude is one of those great, we got to get him in here in the organization. Where is he that he can say, yeah, nah, I'm not taking that one? I mean, Cliff Kingsbury did not put up the greatest showing in his time here, and maybe you asked the question the other day, did he take everything to heart? Did he learn from this experience here, and maybe it'll do him right in his next experience? You didn't seem to think so, because when it was first reported that he was going to get hired, that didn't sit too well with you.
Because here's the thing, is that he just doesn't strike me as a good leader of men. And sometimes when people, they can be the smartest person in the room, or they can have all the talent, they can have all the ideas, but if you're put in a position where you have to lead people, then that can be your Achilles heel. That can be the weakness, or your opportunity for growth or improvement. But I just wonder if he has improved based upon what it looked like, or what it looked like based upon what we saw with the Hard Knocks in season. Did it improve?
Yeah.
Can he do? Because that's what it comes down to. When you say improvement, it's about making adjustments. We talk about that all the time. Just with any coach, did you make the adjustments? Because things change, do you panic? And that's, you know, we being here locally, one of the things that you and me and really our partner Casual E Earl with Casual Sports, he would say when he was holding that the play sheet, he had those nervous hands, and has that improved? And we don't know until he starts taking those live bullets. But maybe he was thinking, maybe I haven't improved well enough, and that's why he backed out. Who knows?
I would push back a little bit, because as the OC, he, you know, because you talk about being a leader of men, he would then, if you're the OC, you're taking on a third of the responsibility. As a head coach, you got a special team. I would even say a quarter, because as a head coach, you got to worry about the offense, especially if you're running that. You got to have your thumb on the defense, special teams, and then you also have to worry a little bit about personnel. You know, if you got a good GM, you guys work on that together, but you also have to put your input in to who are the right players for not just my system, but the organization. You know, so with taking an OC job, I would say that, I mean, if you're not going to take that, what are you going to take? I mean, do you want to be a position coach? Because
you want
to be
a quarterback's coach. I don't know.
I mean, that would, to me, is a little, it blows my mind a little bit, because you think it would have been somewhat of a great position for him to be in. You got Antonio Pierce, who's the head coach, knows absolutely nothing about offense. And Antonio Pierce seems to be a head coach that somewhat says, hey, look, I'm going to let you roll. You do what you do. You know, I'm going to be here as the CEO, and I'm going to make sure everything looks good, but this is your offense. Run it. Ready, break, you know. Yeah. And for me, that would have been the perfect situation for Kingsbury, because you don't have an offensive-minded coach who would be sitting there questioning everything you did, right. You know, or, you know, somebody like – yeah.
Here's something, though. If he was, let's say, if they tapped him to be the offensive coordinator for, let's say, the Chargers or some other team with an established quarterback, or with a quarterback that's young and full of talent, the Raiders don't have a quarterback at all right now. I mean, they have a quarterback, but he needs a lot of work.
Yeah,
I can guarantee that they're going to go after somebody in free agency or in the draft. But maybe he's thinking, this isn't probably the best way for me to really make a great second impression, to see if they're willing, see if I can get another head coaching position, because it might be that Eric Bieniemy situation. Eric says, I'll show you that I'm good. I'll go to the Commanders, and that office will be a juggernaut. And then it didn't happen for a lot of different reasons, but still it didn't happen. So when people look at the bottom line, they'll see what you didn't do, not necessarily what you did do.
For me, if not now, when? I just don't understand what he would be waiting on in this situation. Here's the thing, Jay. We would have to almost find out how that taking that position might have affected his buyout too from the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Because the Cardinals are on the hook for a whole lot of money to pay him. They signed him extension.
That'll make you change your mind quick.
And right now, if he takes a job in college, it might not affect his money here in the NFL. Whereas if he takes any position in the NFL, he might have to relinquish some of that or all of that money. And he's thinking, wait a minute, I'm going to give that up to go be the OC at, you know, who the offensive coordinator is not making what his old head coaching money was. So
he got tens of millions
that the Cardinals have to pay him unless he potentially takes another job in the league. And he might have thought, nah, I'm not giving that up. I'm going to go back and just do my thing at college, be a consultant or whatever it is, and continue to make my money from Bidwell and the Cardinals. Thank you very much. And that way, you know, who knows? I guess we're going to have to wait for somebody on the inside to give us some type of insight into what stopped him from taking that job. Because it does seem like a pretty good position to take, minus the quarterback position, obviously. Because they do have to figure that out.
Maybe Bidwell sent him a congratulations, and just so you know, coach support is done. Not child support, but coach support.
It could be. I don't know, but yeah, that's an interesting one. So where do the Raiders go from here? Because all of the good offensive coordinators, at least the ones with, you know, good resumes, they're pretty much hired or staying put right now. So that kind of hurts your Raiders quite extensively at this point.
I mean, kind of. About Cliff Kingsbury anyway. No, I get what you mean, but maybe this is where maybe what we were just talking about him, my man with the Commanders. This is maybe where he gets an opportunity.
Huh.
It kind of gets in on the back end to try to see if he can take another OC spot that'll give him a head coaching position. Yeah, because the opportunities are gone.
They're pretty much all washed up.
Gone. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But we'll see. Something has to work its way out. You talk about Kingsbury. That man is hustling upwards like nobody's business, man. Never seen anybody, do as little, but so many people chasing him around wanting to, to either hire him or give him money. I mean, he's handsome.
Here's the thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's super flawed in so many areas. But when you look at, he had two seasons where he had double digit wins, and yet it's still something, as we always say, didn't curl quite right.
Yeah,
because it's almost as if the players in the locker room were running it, and then when it came time for him to try to provide some guidance, that it's not there no more. I can't do that. I treat y'all like men. Go ahead and do what you do. Treat you like men.
I think the worst thing that happened to him was that Hard Knocks. We actually got a chance to look behind the curtain and see how poorly he did manage and build relationships and be like the alpha in that room. He kind of got exposed. And, like I said, that's going to be something that moving forward, this not taking this job, backing out of it, that's going to be another strike against him. I don't know whether he gets back into the league after this. I'm talking OC job. Nobody would obviously want him as their head coach, not after the job he did and how he left this organization high and dry. So
I know
it'll be interesting.
Get out of here in a second, but it's stranger things have happened because Brian is suing the league, and
that's true.
C-level and stuff. So I'm just saying, stranger things have happened.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna take this break. When we come back, we got some news around the college football, some interesting happenings going on there. You're listening to Easy and Jay on the Easy Sports Talk Show or across the Sports Map dial. Go ahead and hit him with it, Jay.
Are you getting Easy Sports Map?
You're listening to the EZ Sports Talk Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Now, here's Ed Smith and Javon Adams.
And welcome back to the EZ Sports Talk Show. It's one of those shows, Mike, that we just have to be on our toes, man. Adjust on the fly. I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Pretty much Jay, quarterbacks right now.
There you go. Brother Jay is
kill,
in and
kill,
out.
Kill.
There you go. I like that. So, yeah, Brother Jay is handling some business around the house. Might be in or back in and shortly here. Interesting things going on in the world of college football. We all know the season's over. We've had a national championship game. Your boy Harbaugh has left the ranks, and he's back with in the NFL. And then there's a head coach at Boston College, or I should say former head coach at Boston College named Jeff Hafley. He actually decided to leave college football as a head coach to take a job in the NFL as a defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. And, he's had some NFL experience coaching. He was a DB coach for Tampa Bay, Cleveland, and San Francisco before moving back to the college ranks, taking that head coaching job in 2019. And here we are just 5 years later. He said, I'm done with it. And I'm going back to the NFL. And I'll jump to you here in a second, Jay. But some of the reports that one of the frustrations that he had was with the current state of college football in the era of big budgets, the relaxed transfer rules, and NIL. And you would think that it's probably a huge headache for coaches, for head coaches. And we could sit here and talk about Nick Saban breaking away because he just wanted to maybe spend more time with the grandkids. But I do think the current state of college football with all the mess that's going on, NIL, like I said, transfer portal, there are going to be more coaches that say, I'm done with this. And I mean head coaches that say, I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm going back to, what I either know or I'm going to take a crack at getting into the NFL because it's got to be a huge headache for those dudes, man.
Yeah, before I get to that, I do echo what you said. Thank you. Mike is the best producer ever. Because sometimes stuff like this happens. And so I could call Mike and say, yo, Mike, this is what the deal is. Yeah, I got it, Jay. Don't worry about it, man. But
gotcha.
I appreciate you, man. But here's the thing that I think you're exactly right, because there is so much. Have so many balls up in the air that you're juggling as a head coach. And because, especially, what was it just recently with some of the litigation or some of the investigation and some of the charges being levied against, I want to say it might have been Tennessee, one institution that I just saw come across earlier this week. So, yeah, there's a lot. So I would rather just be paid to just coach. If I got to go from head coach to being the second or third or fourth in charge, but I know that I'm just worried about trying to coach my guys up and get them ready for the game, as opposed to trying to always be recruiting or people being to jump in the portal. Yeah, there's immense value in having less stress, because being a coach, as you can attest to when you were a coach here locally for a while, just being able to coach is enough stress in and of itself.
Well, I think the duties of a coach, especially when you're talking about some of these bigger programs, has gone to the point of there's no such thing as a day off as a college coach, because now their responsibility has gone from we have to recruit every year to get new players in here. We also have to figure out ways to put money in their pocket, because it's all about the NIL. Then once I get the players here, I'm recruiting my own players on a yearly basis to keep them here, because the vultures are out there everywhere trying to lure them to their program with, I can get you more NIL. And then the players, if they're not playing, hey, coach, you know, I need to be on the field more. Well, look, you need to earn it more. Nah, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and jump in that portal, and I'll see y'all on the other side. That type of thing. Yeah. So you're now recruiting not just to bring new in, but just to keep. And then what happens, Jay, where's your downtime? Those college coaches finish the season and immediately have to get on the trail to start recruiting across the country, especially in their region. And then, like I said, it's, you know, every day you get a new knock on the door. Such and such is unhappy. And, you know, he wants, his playing time isn't right, or his money ain't right. And, man, there's no downtime for these college coaches now. When you, just as you mentioned, you could go somewhere and you can be a DB coach in the league, or a linebackers coach or whatever, all you're worried about is your linebackers. And that's, you know, who's being brought in and how I can coach them up. And I don't have to worry about all the other nonsense.
You mentioned being some of the bigger programs, but and I'm only mentioning this because my alma mater is one of those low programs, right? San Jose State. So that's one of those things too, because what if you have a player that you've recruited that's a two-star or three-star, and that comes in and has a great year? Oh, I'm out. I'm gonna go to another program, and I'll just continue to rise up the ladder or the hierarchy there because I had a great year, and then hope to cash in and do some other things. And it's just so many different variables when it comes to being a college coach that I can understand how it can be too much. That's why I say the same thing, that there should be some rules. Try to tame the wild, wild west a little bit. So instead of, I've told you about when it comes to college basketball, maybe it should be 2 years if you hit the transfer portal. Maybe it's 2 years that you have to stay with that organization or with that institution. So that way there isn't so much movement, because that's what creates all the chaos that creates. It might seem cool to people reporting on it, but if you're the fan base and you become what's the wild dash that happens with the NFL every year? And we don't even know some of these players' names when it comes to most of these players' names. We don't know on the college football level. So, institute some rules. You got to wait 2 years before you transfer again, or get some rules in terms of transparency when it comes to the NIL. But what's going to happen is the same way that the bag man used to be so whispered about in those corners. The bag man will just come back and say, well, I'll just do it my way. I'll just do it my way. Go back to the old school with it. And so it'll be under the radar, or those $50, $100 handshakes again.
Well, piling on top of what the Boston College coach, Jeff Hadley, he left 2 weeks ago. We had in the run sheet, and it was a story that we never got to, the Utah head coach. His name is, Kyle Whittingham. He actually was in an article, and he talked about what it takes to maintain a competitive roster. And Utah's not, it's not, Alabama or Georgia by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a good program. They're constantly in the top 25. You know, they got decent rosters. But he was talking about how in order to keep a competitive roster, Utah needs approximately $7 million per year to fund that championship team. And he said NIL, meaning name, image, likeness, is no longer negotiable to winning, meaning he's gone to his boosters, he's gone to the university, and he's been there several years. He's been there upwards of 15 to 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to look at the article. But he is literally saying, I need $7 million a year to put into the pocket of these players. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to fill the competitive roster. Now, that's a head coach. And now it goes from, you know, I need great facilities and, you know, we need to up that to, hey, y'all need to, you know, boosters, university, we need to get a fund together. And there needs to be at least $7 million in there that I can go to these players. And here's the other part of the biggest problem, Jay. They're funding this NIL. It's being used not even for for current players on the roster. This is for high school kids to try to get them into the system. Right. And that's not what it was initially for. Now it's a recruiting tool where, you know, hey, if you come here, I got, you know, $100,000 for you. So, you know, it's not even about come here, make a name for yourself, then you can go out and create whatever opportunities you can for yourself. Go to Chick-fil-A, go to, you know, the local car dealership. Now it's, hey, I need to offer these kids $1 million just to get them in the back door.
It's the law of unintended consequences. And the reason why I say that is because, yes, I still believe wholeheartedly that players should be compensated, but they got unlimited, you know, platinum cards or black cards, right?
Yeah.
But what happens, the same thing with Utah. Let's say Utah with that $7 million a year, they have 2 or 3 years where they finish ranked in the top 10. You know, now players are going to want more because I know I see you doing all this stuff. You finishing in the top 10. I know you're getting this money, man. So
yeah.
I need to get some of this money as well. So it is a vicious cycle that I think is only going to get worse. And when you see when you start to see more of that exodus from some of these coaches, like we talked about earlier, that maybe you see attention of I don't know what the NCAA can really do, but
at some point they're going to have to put some type of legislation on this. And until they do, Jay, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So we're going to take this break coming up here. When we come back, we got some NBA news to talk about. Draymond running his mouth as always. And some, you know, everybody continue to put up 50 in this league is crazy. So you got EZ and Jay on the EZ Sports Talk Show. Brother Mike behind the glass. We're getting it in across the sports map dial. Go ahead and hit him with it, Jay.
Are you good?
Welcome back to the EZ Sports Talk Show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams, live on the Sports Map Radio Network.
And welcome back to the EZ Sports Talk Show. I'm your host Ed Smith, joined by my brother and co-host, Mr. Javon Adams, who's getting it in from the home studio today. But I think we've done a pretty good job, man. It's no flaws in this, getting it in.
That's all teamwork, man. That's all teamwork.
Makes the dream work, right?
Yes,
so,
sir.
Yeah, so, and like I said, once again, Big Mike behind the glass helping us get it done. And so around the NBA, man, I think the NBA is limping toward the All-Star break. I mean, football.
Stuck, man.
I'm just telling you, bro. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. You know, obviously we got football. March Madness is happening, you know, it's looming out there. And meanwhile, the March through the 82 is just going on. And you got, on any given night, you got a Milwaukee that'll lose to Orlando Magic or something like that. And you know, what was it the other night? The Lakers went in with no LeBron, no AD, and beat the
Celtics. I think they were trying to prove a statement, try to send some type of statement there. Like, let's see what you do if both of us is out. Because both of y'all ain't out, man. Come on, man.
Well, apparently the statement was made. We don't need y'all. So, but, I mean, you know, but while it's all going on, you know, there's something looming out there, which is that whole 65-game rule, the threshold they put in there for players to be eligible for postseason awards, whether it be MVP, defensive player of the year, all NBA. And what happens is there are all kinds of incentives that are all also locked into those. We'll talk about that in a minute. But one, yeah. Joel Embiid, you know, he won the MVP this past season, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, you know, and he's been struggling, scuffling, not necessarily being on the court as much as he probably should if he wants to get to that 65-game threshold. So this past week, he went out there, and some would say he shouldn't have because he was obviously not himself. And then he gets rolled up on, and there's some possible damage to his knee, meniscus or something like that. Do the MRI. We're going to figure out what's wrong with Embiid. And then, you know, your boy Draymond Green, he's got to, you know, chime in from the cuff. You know, he talked about how Draymond should have never been out there, and this is the NBA's fault. And, you know, they forced him to go out there and play to try to get to that 65-game threshold. And you always talk about it, Jay. You just said it last segment, the
unintended consequences.
Unintended consequences. So for the last bunch of years, players have been sitting out a number of games, not playing. And I mean, hey, we're going to, you know, such and such, but it's going to take it off, low management. And these guys are not playing anywhere near the 82 where, you know, it was fine for, you know, our older guys, but these guys are not playing any basketball, right? So they go to the table. Commissioner's trying to figure out, how do we stop this? Nobody's playing any games. You know, fans are paying big money for these matchups. Guys are just, you know, claiming, hey, I need a break. I'm not going to play today. So they come up with this rule, and it was collectively bargained for the 65 games minimum. And in order for players to be eligible for the awards and stuff like that, if you don't want to be eligible for the awards, then you do your load management, you don't play. But Draymond makes it seem like it's the NBA's fault, and I don't know where you stand on this. It's the NBA's fault because they're forcing guys to go out there and play when they shouldn't, and who cares how many games guys play. And for me, I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're getting paid not hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. And we can't get you anywhere. Like, see, you think about it, Jay. Once again, I'm going to test your math. I know we're not, you know, math majors here. But 82 minus 65. How many is that, Jay? That's 17 games.
Huh? Yeah.
That's 17 games. So, during the course of the season, you're going to take almost a third of the season off. And you can do it and reach the threshold, but that's the NBA's fault because they're forcing you to pay at least 65 games. Let me set up. What are your thoughts on that?
I think, for one, yeah, they're not making them play. You make the decision, right? It's almost like, remember, you shared the story about one time when you were playing and you wanted, like, you know, even knowing the dangers of getting shot up, right? And you said, yeah, go ahead, shoot that. And the doctor said, nah, I can't do it, Ed. This one right there, I can't do it right there. But you were willing to take that risk because of may have been able to help you stay on the roster or whatever the results would have come after that, right? So Embiid knows, no, you don't have to play. It just means that you will not be eligible for the MVP. But here's the thing, though. If you have those incentives in your contract, or maybe this is that the perfect transition, is that let's say if you have in your contract that if you get that for every MVP that you win, it helps you to be able to be closer to maxing that out, or all NBA teams or whatever that is, that's when players might seem to might push it a little bit when they can't. But also, here's one of the things that to kind of keep in mind is that if he misses 65, if he only plays 65 games, why should he? What writer or journalist worth their salt would say, yeah, that's cool, 65 is enough, I think I'll vote for him for MVP. This should be common sense that he only played 65. It just the math isn't mathing when it comes to that because you haven't played enough to really show that you are indeed the MVP.
I might have a solution, and I'm not sure if this is something they could do, but in place of load management, meaning where, hey, I'm just taking tonight off, that type of thing. Here's the thing, if a guy is seriously hurt, I don't expect him to be on the basketball court. It's grueling. So for somebody like Embiid, he's got a bad knee, he has to sit down. Now, in baseball, they put you on the IR and they do it retroactively. You know, he tried to play on Tuesday, couldn't. It's Thursday now. We're going to go back to Tuesday, put him on the IR retroactively. He's on the 10-day or the 15-day or whatever. And that is that way guys aren't just like taking the – you know, maybe, Jay, you put in these contracts where for now on, if you are – like if you're taking Lowe's management on day – you just don't get paid for those games. We deduct that. And then so now if a guy is hurt, literally, you know, really hurt, we put him on the IR, those games don't count toward that 65. So we deduct those from the 82. So if he's missed 10 days, 10 games, now if, as long as he plays 55 games, he can be eligible. There's got to be some way they can do it where it's not too punitive because guys are going to get hurt in a long, grueling season. At the same time, I hate looking, watching basketball, and you got, you know, LeBron and them sitting on the bench eating popcorn, just hanging out when they make, you know, $50 million a year, and they don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Here's the thing. So I like what you're saying there, but here's what one is that can be omitted from contracts. Those perks, those bonuses, so to speak. Like Halliburton, if he doesn't make the All NBA team, and he's actually injured, that he might miss out on $41 million because of not making one of the All NBA teams with offensive defense, right? But here's, you got to wait for these things to cycle out because you're not going to change the contracts right in the middle of, if you signed that contract, that's the contract for the next 3, 5, however many years for the length of that contract, right? But if but contracts moving forward, as players are coming into the league, as players are then beginning to re-sign or to sign with other teams, then that new language that you're talking about can be in there. Because what you don't want is for people to just misuse, well, my toe hurts or my fingernail hurts, man. I got to sit out right now. And, yeah, it just happens to be a nationally televised game. You want to be able to have more to be able to bring it closer to having value for all, because I can't, it made me think of it, how terrible it would be if you were going to, if Milwaukee was coming into town and you were going to take Hugh, because he doesn't want to see the seventh best player on the team. He wants to see Giannis, or he may want to see Dame. And both of them just happen to sit out because, it was the second of a back-to-back. I'm straight. That would be super frustrating when you spend all that money. So the players have to realize that, because the TV deal and, on a lesser extent, the tickets are paying their salary, but the TV money is what's really doing it. And so you start to erode the product if you are not being true to the fan and being as honest with the fan as possible to try to get them to spend their money and their time, if nothing else.
Yeah, and I mean, personally, I think Draymond's an idiot. When you listen to somebody talk about how they're forcing us to go out there and play, you know, when we shouldn't be out there playing, it's like, wait a minute. You're paying these dudes upwards, like I said, some of them $30, $40, $50 million a year, and we're asking you to go out there and play a game of basketball. And that, I mean, I don't think that's asking too much, you know. And then just the simple fact, the entitlement and, you know, the way some of these guys, you know, there are guys who are going to be hurt. We all know that. But at the same time, there's got to be something said for – I love how they talk about how, you know, like, it's like a crime to go out and play 80 games when they used to do it in the back in the day. And I hate using that term, but I mean, there were guys who used to play the entire season. What was it? AC Green didn't miss a game in like 20 years. I'm being, you know, a little crazy there with that, but.
So real quick, I know we got to get out of the segment, but here's the thing, is that the difference between a parent telling, you play that game because you love the game, as opposed to you playing that game because you're about to get $20 million for this family.
Yeah.
So you don't play because of love, you play because of the money, and there's a difference.
We got to go out. We'll be back to finish things up, folks. Go ahead and hit him with one, Jay.
You get.
Broadcasting live on the Sports Map Radio Network, it's the EZ Sports Talk Show with Ed EZ Smith and Javon J. Love Adams.
And welcome back to the final segment of the show. I can honestly say, man, we did a pretty good job here considering all the, you know, the disconnect and, you know, Mike putting it down. And golly, I was a little worried at the beginning, but hey, great show. One always. Thank the people that help us make it do what it do. And right off the top, thank you, Brother Mike, because, I mean, you put it down today.
I got it. Hey, with me, you don't got to worry about nothing.
Hey, I'm telling you, bro, we've had some issues before with others, so we know what bad look like, and we also know what great look like. So thank you for being great.
Right.
We want to thank our partners, Bob Miksovsky with Reliable Travel Planners, Brother Mark Twain Beaver with True Narrative Media. Make sure you check out both of those. Go to both the websites and check them out. Want to thank, let me see, Brother Mark for calling in today. Did a great job helping me out when Jay had to step away for a minute. Want to thank my son for checking out and hanging out with us up in Utah, my little grandbabies. And then, let me see, want to thank our listeners. Thank everybody for just hanging out with us on this beautiful Saturday, wherever you might be. I know weather isn't always like it is out here in Arizona, but I said, wherever you're at, like I said, hopefully you're getting it in. So one sad note for the show. We do our RAPs when we lose some of our celebrities and stuff like that. We lost Carl Weathers. And for anybody who doesn't know who Carl Weathers is, he's the great man who played Apollo Creed in Rocky. He played in Happy Gilmore. What are some of the other things, Jay? He did so many things and was just recently in a commercial with Gronk for the Super Bowl. So, right. he passed a couple days ago.
Wasn't he in Predator, right?
Predator. That's who I love, Predator. I mean, you know, so, I mean, just, he was 76 years old, but from what I, you know, what you saw, and then I was reading, he died peacefully at home, which means he was probably sick, but like I said, we just saw him in commercials and things, and it, you know, you just never know what's going on with someone's life, but like I said, that one took us a little bit by surprise. I think I was out when you texted me that one yesterday, Jay, and I was like, nah, yeah. Carl, we just saw him, so rest in peace, Apollo.
I mean, there is no tomorrow, Rock. No tomorrow.
He went from a villain to, like, beloved when, you know, obviously when Clubber Lang came onto the scene, he had to get Rocky right. But, yeah, I mean, just sad to see him go, 76. So let's go ahead and take it around the horn, Brother Mike.
Time to go.
They'll have to be quick.
Around the horn.
Espinosa launches it for a brilliant 6-4-3 double play
on the EZ Sports Talk Show.
Yes, sir. So last segment, we hit a call on a couple stories that, you know, we might not have either gotten to during the show or, you know, last segment, just a couple quick hitters. And one of them saw this, the historic Tropicana Las Vegas Hotel. The days are numbered, Jay. They're actually going to be demolishing this thing. It's closing down on April 2nd. That'll be the last day right there on the strip. The Tropicana, and I'm actually leaving out next week on Wednesday for the Super Bowl. I'm gonna go out there and do a couple things on Radio Row Thursday and Friday. So I'm gonna take a couple pictures of the Tropicana. And I've been there before, and I've gambled. It's gonna be, you know, what they're doing is they're putting up the brand new stadium, 30,000 seat stadium, for the which will be the then Las Vegas A's, scheduled to open in 2028. So
2028.
Yeah.
That's just so long. But yeah, I've been in the trap too. I'm not a baller like you, so I don't think that I'm in the trap. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be just shy of its 67th anniversary. It's hard to think those things have been open that long. But yeah, if those walls could talk, bro. But yeah, the Tropicana will be demolished, and it'll be a big old open space as they start to put that. Now, how is that going to work? The baseball stadium is going to be right there in the heart of everything. And I guess, you know, nobody's going to be driving to it, I guess. So you can just put a ballpark there and people will, you know, be Ubering and walking from on the strip.
Same thing as when, if you've been to, what, T-Mobile Arena?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like kind of right off, and the way that they built it, and you'll be able to tell me about where the Raiders play, because I remember where they built it. But they try to use as much room as they can to fit that square peg into that round hole.
Yeah, I've been to T-Mobile Arena to watch UNC Kentucky about five years or so ago. So I've been to that one. I haven't been to Allegiant, the football stadium, but I will slide by there to take a couple pictures of it for you. Another story, and this one befuddles me, man. The stolen Jackie Robinson statue was found burned and dismantled in a trash can. So this is at a Kansas ballpark, baseball park, and it's a Little League ballpark. It was taken from McAdams Park in Wichita last week. Surveillance showed them removing it and we're putting it in the back of a pickup truck. And they actually cut the statue at the ankles, bruh. Only left the feet. and the damage was estimated around $75,000. And it's like, what raggedy some gun would do something like that in this day and age? You know how we always talk about, well, you know, we've come such a long way, you know, bruh, to show that type of disrespect to Jackie Robinson, who means so much to us, obviously, but that was a deliberate act. And
and I saw the Bob Kendrick from the president of the Negro League Baseball Museum. He posted it on his social media feed because I think he was a part of trying to raising money to build that statue as well. So it's really unfortunate.
Unfortunate. So there's already a push. There's a private donorship, and the MLB, all the baseball clubs are donating. I think they've got some ridiculous amount of money already put together, but they're going to actually use the same cast, the original mold, to redo the statue. My issue is, you put it back up, what's to stop somebody from doing that again? I just don't understand. You got to put surveillance out there or something, but man, if and when they catch the people that did that, man, you're talking about, oh my goodness, I hope they pay you whatever ultimate the maximum penalty is. I hope they because you know what this is all about, Jay. That's just ridiculous. So
I know.
Oh man, it makes you just mad, you know. So that'll lead us into his last story here, because we don't have time for the other one. But it's Dookie versus North Carolina today. And talking to Mike, doing one of the breaks. You know, he's got Houston. His boys are playing Kansas, bruh. And I asked Mike, how do you watch your basketball? And you know, he's like, you know, he's got to be at the studio watching it, whereas I'm gonna be in front of the TV, bruh. And it's not PG rated around here when Duke and North Carolina get together. It's going to be straight R rated because I take it just that seriously. And I'm ready to go, bro. I've already got my game face on, Mike. I'm ready to go. So I think it's 4:30 our time here. We're going to be getting that one in.
Also, it's right after the U of H game then.
Yeah. So I'm watching yours. I'm watching ours. And like I said, it'll be oh happy day if we win. If it's not, everybody in the house knows just to leave me alone for a little bit.
But you feel good about your team. You feel good about your squad this year.
Right? I feel real good. They actually on Tuesday they messed up and lost to Georgia Tech because I think they were looking forward to this one. But we're 9-1 in the ACC. 17-4 overall. But you can't put anything, like I said, you can't put anything by that other school. You know, that other school with them bad blue colors. I just don't never know what might happen.
From New Jersey. He reps so hard for.
Well, that's where I said. That's where I signed my 11-10.
I don't want to mess up. Yeah, you know the what is it? The color is baby blue. What are the
sky colors? Blue? Whatever it's called. It's called Carolina blue. How about that?
Carolina blue.
Yeah, don't disrespect. Yeah. So I know where I'm going to be in a few hours. I actually feel bad that Mike has to be in the studio because I couldn't watch it in the studio, bro. I'd be interrupting something or somebody. But, yeah,
if you had my job, you'd be messing up the countdowns and everything.
Seriously, bro. They'd be like, where'd he go? So, and it's that time of the year, man, with football winding down, obviously. I'm not going to be into the NBA for a few more weeks until they get through the preseason. But, you know, I'm all in on college basketball. So it's time to go, bro. Guys, let's get it in. So next week, and like I said, next week when we get back to the show here, I hope I have a couple good stories from Vegas. Hopefully, nothing bad. But, yeah, I'm going to go over there for a couple days, do a couple media things, and then get my behind back here so we can get it in on Saturday. So,
and you know next Saturday what you got to give is the story of the week of the game itself.
Even
the day before the game.
I don't know anything crazy
the day before the game. I mean, who knows? Crazy can happen the day before a Super Bowl. Who knows?
Oh, Lord.
I mean, we still got a review of the Pro Bowl that's happening tomorrow.
I'll be glued to that tonight, Mike. The skills contest. And we were talking during the break, Gardner Minshew, he's a Pro Bowler. So, I mean, 16th alternate? And he can actually put that on his resume. He made the Pro Bowl, bro. And he got to go play dodgeball. So he's good. Tug of war, dodgeball. I mean, it's all good. So what you got going there, Jay, after you get everything taken care of the house?
Hopefully this is an inexpensive fix here, and then linking up with the partner of mine. And my foot is feeling better now, so I think I might get a couple miles in.
Okay, well, we appreciate everybody hanging out. Easy and Jay on Easy Sports Talk Show. We'll be back next week, folks. Have a great finish to your weekend. Hit them, Jay.
Mike is the man. Are you kidding?
Yes, you go.